வக்ரதுண்ட மகாகாய சூர்யகோடி சபப்ரபா நிர்விக்னம் குரு மே தேவ சர்வகாரியேஷு சர்வதா சிவசக்த்யா யுக்தோ யதி பவதி சக்தஹ ப்ரபவிதும் ந சேதேவம் தேவோ ந கலு குஷலஹ ஸ்பந்திதுமபி அதஸ்த்வாமாராத்யா ஹரிஹர விரிஞ்சாதிபிரபி ப்ரணந்தும் ஸ்தோதும் வா கதமக்ருத புண்யஹ ப்ரபவதி.
Sri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram on this Thursday on the 23rd of April 2020. And with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanti Nilayam. Let me first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What should we give up and what should we cultivate? Bhagwan lovingly reminds us today, and I quote, God is present in everyone. He resides in every heart. So do not confine God to a temple, a mosque, or a church. Where a human being is, there God is. God takes the form of a human, Daivam Manusharupena. As you forget and do not realize this important fact, you indulge in criticism of others. When you are whom are you criticizing? Whom do you adore? Inquire for yourself. God is present in all. If you criticize others, you criticize God. Whoever you salute, it reaches God. Sarvajiva namaskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. And whomever you insult or ridicule, it also reaches God. Sarvajiva Tiraskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. Right from this moment, embark on a new life, giving up bad thoughts and evil qualities. Purify your heart. Love all. Have faith that God is present in all. Fill your heart with pure love. Let your thoughts, words and deeds be sacred. Only then will your life be blissful. Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on April 13th, 2002. Dear listener, today the world is gripped in the fear, suffering and deaths caused by the spread of the coronavirus or the COVID-19. Let us all take all the precautions mandated by the government and the health department, like social distancing and self-quarantining, and also maintain purity, like at the personal and community level. Let us also engage in collective prayers at our own places, And in mitigating the pain and suffering caused by the spread of the COVID-19, we will be having collective prayers for global well-being, titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Do also join us in these online prayer sessions by tuning into This Asia Stream or Radio Sai YouTube channel or Sri Satya Sai Baba Facebook page today at 10:30 a.m. and also in the evening at 6:30 p.m. Indian Standard Time. Also, tomorrow is the Sri Satya Sai Aradhana Day, and let me play out for you an announcement regarding the programs lined up for tomorrow. Sai Ram and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam. Dear listeners, as you're all aware, the 24th of April every year is observed as the Sri Satya Sai Aradhana Mahotsava. This is a solemn occasion when we gather to express our heartfelt gratitude to Bhagwan for gracing our lives with His matchless divine presence. This year, owing to the prevailing medical emergency across the globe, we invite you to participate in the event from the safe confines of your own homes. To facilitate the same, we invite you to join our special Aradhana Day program on April 24th, 2020, starting at 7 a.m. You can tune into our Radio Sai YouTube channel or Asia Stream or Telugu Stream of our radio broadcast. You can also tune in to Sri Satya Sai Baba Facebook page. We shall begin with a recorded rendition of Sai Pancharatna Kritis. This presentation will be followed by the live audio broadcast from the Sai Kulwant Hall. The session will begin with Vedic chants and thereafter we will have Guru Vandana, a musical offering by the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, which will be followed by Bhajans and Mangala Arati. We then invite you to tune in to Radio Sai Bhajans YouTube channel, where you can participate in an extended bhajan session specially put together with a garland of 95 bhajans starting at 10 a.m. In the evening, the Mandir session will begin as always at 5 p.m. with Vedic chants. At 5:25, we'll be blessed with Bhagwan's benedictory message. The session will conclude with bhajans and Mangala Arati. And after that, later in the evening at 7 p.m. Indian Standard Time, we once again invite you to join in the Ekadasha Rudra chanting, sacred and powerful chants for world peace. To remind you once again, tune in to Radio Sai YouTube channel or Satya Sai Baba Facebook page or to our Radio Sai Asia Stream or Telugu Stream. This event will begin at 7 a.m. April 24th, 2020. Uniting in our prayers from wherever we are, let us express our gratitude to Bhagwan on this sacred occasion of the Sri Satya Sai Aradhana Mahotsava. Thank you and Sai Ram. So dear listeners, that was the program planned for tomorrow. And the time right now in our studios is 52 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I've lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book, Sri Sai Satcharitra by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by some bhajans. From 10:30 a.m., we'll have the collective prayers for global well-being, titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a happy and holy Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. Praying to Lord Almighty that the pandemic and the suffering caused by the coronavirus be eradicated and all the suffering come to an end at the earliest. Samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu.
Baba said that he was omnipresent, transcending land, air, world, light and heaven. and that he was not localized. To remove the misunderstanding of those who thought that Baba was his only body, 3 cubits and a half in length, he incarnated himself in this form. And if any devotee meditated upon him day and night with complete self-surrender, he experienced complete union with him like sweetness and sugar, waves and sea, eye and its sight. He who wants to get rid of the cycle of births and deaths should lead a righteous life with his mind calm and composed. He should not speak harshly to anyone so as to hurt him. He should always engage himself in good actions, should do his duties and surrender himself, heart and soul, to the Lord. He need not then be afraid of anything. He who trusts him entirely, hears and expounds his leelas and does not think of anything else, is sure to attain self-realization. Baba asked many to remember his name and to surrender to him, but to those who wanted to know who they were, he advised Shravan and Manan. To some he advised remembering God's name, to others hearing his leelas, to some worship of his feet, to others reading and studying Adhyatma Ramayana, Dhyaneshwari and other sacred scriptures. He made some sit near his feet. Some he sent to Khandoba's temple, and the others he advised a repetition of the 1000 names of Vishnu, and to some the study of Chandogya Upanishad and Gita. There was neither any limit nor any restriction to his instructions. He gave in person or by vision and dreams. To someone addicted to drink, he appeared in his dream, sat on his chest, pressed it, and left him after he gave a promise not to touch liquor anymore. To some he explained some mantras like Guru Brahma in dreams. To some devotee who was practicing Hatha Yoga, he sent word that he should leave off Hatha Yoga practices, sit quiet and wait. It is impossible to describe all his ways and methods. In ordinary worldly dealings, he set examples by his actions, one of which is given below. Remuneration for labor. One day at noon, Baba came near Radha Krishnamai's house and said, "Bring me a ladder." Some men brought it and set it against the wall of a house as directed by Baba. He climbed up on the roof of the Viman Gondkar house and passed over the roof of Radha Krishnamai's home and then got down from the other corner. What object Baba had, none could know. Radha Krishnamai was at that time shivering with malaria. It may be to drive off the fever that he may have gone up there. Immediately after getting down, Baba paid 2 rupees to the persons who brought the ladder. Somebody asked Baba why he paid so much for this. He replied, "Nobody should take the labor of others in vain. The worker should be paid his dues promptly and liberally." If the philosophy taught by Baba be followed, that is, if the remuneration for labor be paid promptly and satisfactorily, the laborers will turn out better, and both the laborers and the employers will be profited, and there will be no room for lockouts and strikes, no ill feeling between labor and the capital. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 20. Dasganu's problems solved by Kaka's maidservant. In this chapter, Hemant Pant describes how Dasganu's problem was solved by Kaka Sahib Dikshit's maidservant. Preliminary. God was originally formless. He assumed a form for the sake of bhaktas. With the help of Maya, he played the part of an actor in the big drama of the universe. Let us remember and visualize Sri Sai. Let us go to Shirdi and see carefully the program after the noon aarti. After the aarti ceremony was over, Sai used to come out of the masjid and, standing on its edge, distribute udi to the devotees with very kind, gracious and loving looks. The bhaktas also got up with equal fervor, clasped his feet and had the bliss of udi. Baba passed handfuls of udi into the palms of the devotees and marked their foreheads with udi with his own hands. The love he bore for them in his heart was boundless. Then he addressed the bhaktas, "O Bhav, go home to take your lunch. You Anna, go to your lodgings. You Bapu, enjoy your meal." In this way, he accosted each and every devotee and sent them home, Even now, you can have the pleasure of these sights if you bring into play your imagination. Now, bringing Sai in our mental vision, let us meditate on him. From his feet upwards to his face, prostrating before him humbly, lovingly, and reverentially. Isha Upanishad. Das Ganu once started to write a Marathi commentary on the Isha Upanishad. Let us first give a brief idea of this Upanishad before proceeding further. It is called Mantra Upanishad, as it is embodied in the mantras of the Vedic Samhita. It constitutes the last or the 40th chapter of the Vajrasanayi Samhita and is therefore called Vajrasanayi Samhitopanishad. Being embodied in the Vedic Samhitas, this is regarded as superior to all other Upanishads, which are in the Brahmanyakas and Aranyakas. Not only this, other Upanishads are considered to be commentaries on the truths mentioned briefly in the Isha Upanishad. For instance, the biggest of the Upanishads, the Brihadaranyak Upanishad, is considered by Pandit Satavalekar to be a running commentary on the Isha Upanishad. Professor Ranade says, "The Isha Upanishad is quite a small Upanishad and yet it contains many hints which show an extraordinary piercing insight. Within the short compass of 18 verses, it gives a valuable mystical description of the Atma, a description of the ideal sage who stands unruffled in the midst of temptations and sorrows. The most valuable idea that lies at the root of the Upanishad is that of a logical synthesis between the two opposites of knowledge and works, which are both required, according to the Upanishad, to be annulled in a higher synthesis." In another place he says, "The poetry of the Isha Upanishad is a co-mixture of moral, mystical and metaphysical knowledge." From the brief description given above about this Upanishad, one can see how difficult it is to translate this Upanishad in a vernacular language and bring out its exact meaning. Das Ganu translated it in Marathi Ovi Meter, verse by verse. But as he did not comprehend the gist or essence of the Upanishad, he was not satisfied with his performance. On being dissatisfied, he consulted some learned men regarding his doubts and difficulties, and discussed it with them at great length. They did not solve them, nor did they give him any rational and satisfactory explanation. So Das Ganu was a little restless over this matter. Sadguru only competent and qualified to explain. As we have seen, this Upanishad is a quintessence of the Vedas. It is the science of self-realization. It is the scythe or weapon which can rend asunder the bondage of life and death and make us free. Therefore, he thought that he who himself has attained self-realization can only give him the true or correct interpretation of the Upanishad. When nobody could satisfy Das Ganu, he resolved to consult Sai Baba about this. When he got the opportunity to go to Shirdi, he saw Sai Baba, prostrated himself before him and mentioned his difficulties about the Isha Upanishad and requested him to give the correct solution. Sai Baba blessed him and said, "You need not be anxious. There is no difficulty about the matter. The maidservant of Kaka Sahib Dikshit will solve your doubts at Viliparla on your way to home." The people who were present there and heard this thought that Baba was joking and said, "How could an illiterate maidservant solve the difficulties of this mystic nature?" But Das Ganu thought otherwise. He was sure that whatever Baba spoke must come true, as Baba's word was a decree of the Brahma. Kaka's maidservant. Fully believing Baba's words, Das Ganu left Shirdi and came to Viliparla and stayed with Kaka Sahib Dikshit. There, the next day, when Das Ganu was enjoying his morning nap, he heard a poor girl singing a beautiful song in clear and melodious tone. The theme of the song was a crimson-colored sari. How nice it was, how fine was its embroidery, how beautiful were its border. He liked the song so much that he came out and saw it was being sung by a young girl, the sister of Namya, who was a servant of Kaka Sahib. The girl was cleaning vessels, and had only a torn rag on her person. On seeing her impoverished condition and a happy temperament, Dasganu felt pity for her. And when Rao Bahadur M.V. Pradhan gave him a pair of dhotars the next day, he requested him to give a sari to the poor little girl too. Rao Bahadur bought a good small sari and presented it to her. Like a starved person getting delicious dishes to eat, her joy knew no bounds. Next day, she wore the new sari and out of great joy and merriment, whirled and danced around and played fugadi with other girls. The day following, she kept the new sari in her box at home and came back with the old and torn rags. But she looked as merry as she was the previous day. On seeing this, Dasganu's pity transformed into admiration. He thought the girl, being poor, had to wear a torn rag, but now she had a new sari which she kept in reserve, and putting on the old rag, strutted herself, showing no trace of sorrow or dejection. He realized that all our feelings of pain and pleasure depend upon the attitude of our mind. On thinking deeply over this incident, he realized a man ought to enjoy whatever God has given him, in the firm conviction that He besets everything from behind and before and on all sides, and that whatever is bestowed on him by God must be for the good. In this particular case, the impoverished condition of the poor girl, her torn rag and the new sari, the donor, the donee and the deal were all parts of the Lord and pervaded by Him. Here Dasganu got a practical demonstration of the lesson of the Upanishad, the lesson of contentment with one's own lot, with the belief that whatever happens is ordained by God and is ultimately good for us. Unique method of teaching. From the above incident, the reader will see that Baba's method was unique and varied. Though Baba never left Shirdi, he sent some to Machindragarh, some to Kolhapur or Solapur, for practicing sadhanas. To some he appeared in his usual form, to some he appeared in waking or dreaming states day or night and satisfied their desires. It is impossible to describe all the methods that Baba used in imparting instructions to his bhaktas. In this particular case, he sent Dasganu to Viliparla, where he got his problem solved through the maidservant. To those who say it was not necessary to send away Dasganu and that Baba could have personally taught him, we say that Baba followed the right or best course. Or, how else could Dasganu learn a great lesson? Now we close the chapter with another beautiful extract about this Upanishad. The ethics of the Isha. One of the main features of the Isha Upanishad is the ethical advice it offers. And it is interesting to note that the ethics of the Upanishad are definitely based upon the metaphysical position given in it. The very opening words of the Upanishad tell us that God pervades everything. As a corollary, from this metaphysical position, the ethical advice it offers is that a man ought to enjoy whatever God bestows on him in the firm belief that as he pervades everything, whatever is given to him by God must be good. It follows naturally that the Upanishad should forbid us from coveting another man's property. In fact, we are fittingly taught here a lesson of contentment with one's own lot, in the belief that whatever happens is divinely ordained and hence it is good for us. Another moral advice is that man must spend his lifetime always in doing action, specifically the karmas enjoined in the Shastras, with resignation to his will. Inactivity, according to the Upanishad, would be the canker of the soul. It is only when a man spends his lifetime in doing actions in this manner that he can hope to attain the ideal of Nishkarma. Finally, the text goes on to say that a man who sees all beings in the self and sees the self as existing in all beings, for whom all beings and everything that exists have become the self, how can such a man suffer for infatuation? What ground would such a man have for grief? Loathfulness, infatuation and grief verily proceed from a not being able to see the Atma in all things. But a man who realizes the oneness of all things, for whom everything has become the self, must cease to be affected by the common foibles of humanity. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 21, Stories of B.H. Thakur, Anantrao Pathankar and Pandharpur Pleader. In this chapter, Hemad Pant relates the stories of Vinayak Harishchandra Thakur, Anantrao Pathankar of Pune and a pleader from Pandharpur. All these stories are very interesting, which, if very carefully read and grasped, will lead the readers on to the spiritual path. Preliminary. It is a general rule that it is our good luck in the form of accumulation of merits of past births that enables us to seek the company of saints and benefit thereby. As an illustration of this rule, Hemad Pant gives his own instance. He was a resident magistrate of Bandra, a suburb of Mumbai, for many years. A famous Muslim saint named Peer Maulana was living there, and many Hindus, Parsis and others who followed different religion used to go to him and take his darshan. His mujawar, by name Yunus, pressed Hemad Pant many a time for going to see him, but for some or the other reason, he was not able to do that. After many years, his turn came and he was called to Shirdi, where he was permanently enrolled in Sai Baba's darbar. Unfortunate fellows do not get such contact of the saints. It is only the fortunate ones that get it. Institution of Saints. There have been institutions of saints in this world from time immemorial. Various saints appear themselves in various places to carry out missions allotted to them. But though they work in different places, they are, as it were, one. They work in unison under the common authority of the Almighty Lord, and knows fully well what each of them is doing in his place, and supplement his work where necessary. An instance illustrating this is given below. Mr. Thakur. Mr. B.H. Thakur was a clerk in the revenue department, and he once came to a town named Vadgaon near Belgaon. There he saw a canary saint Appa and bowed before him. The saint was explaining portion from the book Bichar Sagar of Nischal Das. When Thakur was taking his leave to go, he said to him, "You should study this book, and if you do so, your desires will be fulfilled. And when you go to the north in the discharge of your duties in the future, you will come across a great saint by your fortune, and then he will show you the future path and give rest to your mind and make you happy." Then he was transferred to Junnar, where he had to go by crossing Nane Ghat. This ghat was very steep and difficult, and no other conveyance other than a buffalo was of use in crossing it. So he had to take a buffalo ride through the ghat, which was much inconvenient to him. Then he was transferred on promotion to Kalyan, and there he got acquainted with Nana Sahib Chandurkar. He heard much about Sai Baba from him and wished to see him. Next day, Nana Sahib had to go to Shirdi and he asked Thakur to accompany him. He could not do so as he had to attend the Thana civil court for a civil case. So Nana Sahib went alone. Thakur went to Thana, but there the case was postponed. Then he repented for not accompanying Nana Sahib. Still, he left for Shirdi, and when he reached there, he found that Nana Sahib had left the place the previous day. Some of his other friends whom he met there took him to Baba. He saw Baba, fell at his feet and was overjoyed. His eyes were full of tears and his hair stood on end. Then after a while, the omniscient Baba said to him, "The path of this place is not so easy as the teachings of the canary saint Appa, or even as a buffalo ride in the Nane Ghat. In this spiritual path, you have to put in your best exertion. It is very difficult." When Thakur heard these significant words, which only he knew, he was overwhelmed with joy. He came to know that the word of the canary saint had turned true. Then, joining both hands and placing his head on Baba's feet, he prayed that he should be accepted and blessed. Then Baba said, "What Appa told you was all right, but these things have to be practiced and lived. Mere reading won't do. You have to think and carry out what you read, otherwise it's no use. Mere book learning without the grace of the guru and self-realization is of no avail. The theoretical portion was read from the work Vichar Sagar by Thakur, but the practical way was shown to him at Shirdi. Another story given below will bring out the truth more forcibly. Anantra Patankar. One gentleman from Pune by name Anantra Patankar wished to see Baba. He came to Shirdi and took Baba's darshan. His eyes were satisfied and he was much pleased. He fell at Baba's feet and after performing proper worship said to Baba, "I have read a lot, studied Vedas, Vedanta and Upanishad and heard all the Puranas, yet I have not got any peace of mind. So I think all my reading was useless. Simple, ignorant, devout persons are better than myself. Unless the mind becomes calm, all book learnings is of no avail. I have heard from many people that you easily give peace of mind to the many people by your mere glance and potent word. And so, I have come here. Please take pity on me and bless me." Then Baba told him a parable, which was as follows. Parable of 9 balls of stool. Navavida Bhakti. Once a merchant came here. Before him a mare passed her stool. The merchant, intent on his quest, spread the end of his dhotar and gathered all the 9 balls in it, and thus he got concentration, peace of mind. Mr. Patankar could not make out the meaning of this story. So he asked Ganesh Damodar, alias Dada Kelkar, "What does Baba mean by this?" Dada replied, "I too do not know all that Baba says and means, but at his inspiration I say what I come to know. The mare is God's grace, and the 9 balls excreted are the 9 forms or types of bhakti, shravan, kirtan, smaran, padasevan, archan, namaskar, dasya, sakhyam, Atmanivedan. These are the 9 types of bhakti. If any of these is faithfully followed, Lord Hari will be pleased and manifest himself in the home of the devotee. All the sadhanas, namely japa, tapa, yoga practice and studying the scriptures and expounding them are quite useless unless they are accompanied by bhakti. Knowledge of the Vedas or fame as a great dhyani and mere formal bhajan are of no avail. What is wanted is full devotion. Consider yourself as the merchant or seeker after the truth and be anxious and eager like him to collect or cultivate the 9 types of devotion. Then you will attain stability and peace of mind." Next day, when Patankar went to Baba for salutation, he was asked whether he collected the 9 balls of stool. Then he said that he, being a poor fellow, should first be graced by Baba and he would be enabled to collect them. Baba blessed and comforted him, saying that he would attain peace and welfare. After hearing this, Patankar became overjoyed and happy.
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साईं ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साईं ध्यान करो करो करो
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु
ध्यान करो।